Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you excited about Jesus? Are you really excited about Jesus? Praise the Lord. The world's excited about a lot of things, but I'm excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. We're living in some serious times, aren't we? Even our missionary, Peter Mel, put a message out. You may have seen it on our site, how they are watching tanks and things being shipped into the Ukraine from Russia. Things are happening around the world right now. Israel is under severe fire, even this morning, right now. And we need to keep our eyes on that part of the world right now. Jesus is coming, and Israel is one of the focal points that we need to watch because God is doing a supernatural work. If anybody said that God's not working in this world, he is. Because he, you know, prophecy, people don't like prophecy, not all, just some don't like prophecy. Prophecy is one of the best things in the Word of God that helps draw us to Jesus. Many people come to Jesus through the prophetic word. I know I did. When I was reading the prophecy of future events, God started convicting my heart, and that's what drew me to Jesus. But we're watching the nations of the world right now surround Israel. Even this nation is going against Israel to a point right now, which is dangerous. But we may be seeing some events happening in the days ahead. We don't know. But I tell you what, we need to be in the Scripture. We need to believe what Jesus said, because God's prophecy comes true. It's coming true. And that's what makes it so awesome, is because everything that Jesus prophesied would happen toward the end of time, we are watching it happen right now. And we need to be ready for it. Amen? So we need to hold on to our word. We need to hold on to our word. That's why it's important to read the Word of God, because what's in there, God will bring to your heart. And when you and I are walking through life, God will bring his word into our life, and that's what we need to do. My message, hold on to your word. It's God's word, actually, but it's the word that God puts in you when you need the word. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that your word will touch our hearts and lives today. Challenge us as the body of Christ, Father. And we thank you for what you'll be doing in our life. We thank you for your holy word. And we praise you for it, and we glorify you for it, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Put your hand up like this, please. Wave at me. Come on. Now do the other one. Now we got a Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That kind of keeps you awake too, doesn't it? I like that. Hallelujah. We got to get fired up for Jesus. We got to get fired up for Jesus, people. Wow. Boy, it just got quiet again, didn't it? I'd like to hear a rumbling of praise. Amen? I tell you what, I got to challenge you with this. Whenever you do missionary work overseas and you get in a group of people who don't have access to be coming into a church like this, these people, they're praising God. They're sitting there while you're preaching. I preached in prisons over in the Ukraine, and when I did, these guys were praising God while I was preaching. They were worshiping God. They were praising God when we were eating breakfast. They were praising God when we came together as a group and the word was brought out. These people already had their hands in there. We didn't say a word, but the Holy Spirit was so prevalent there, he was touching their lives already. People, let's not take it for granted. Huh? If you want to shout praise the Lord in here, you feel like you're going to do it. I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord! I'm not ashamed to do it. I'm not afraid to do it because I love Jesus, and we should be willing and wanting to do that. Luke 8:22 says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over onto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. Wow. Can you imagine Jesus getting in the ship with you? Woo-wee. He went into the ship with his disciples. He went into the ship. The ship represents your life, your destination, and your course of life is what it represents. When Jesus entered the ship, he charged the course. He gave them a purpose and a destination. When you and I came to Jesus, when Jesus chose us, he set us on a course, didn't he? He's so kind of speaking, he got into our ship and he directed us. He's given us a destination. That's what he's done. As soon as Jesus entered the ship, he gave them a word. The word was prophetic, that the word carried the spirit of destiny in their hearts. See, the word said, you're going somewhere. when you and I got saved, I'm going somewhere. I'm on a journey, and I'm going somewhere. My ultimate journey naturally is heaven, but I'm going somewhere on this earth right now too, because Jesus lives in my life. Amen? See, he washed me in the blood. He put the Holy Ghost within me, and he's got a destination and a purpose for my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I got a word. Come on, tell somebody, I got a word. The disciples got a word of destiny that assured them of his presence with them. Somebody said, I heard a word, but I couldn't find God in it. Amen? You think that, sense that, feel that? I got a word, but I couldn't find God in it. Where's God? And I'm going to tell you something here this morning. When God gives you a word, it carries his presence. It does. It carries his presence. I didn't say it will make you happy. I didn't say that. And I didn't say it will always make you feel good either. But I said it will always carry his presence. God's word will always carry his presence when he puts it in you. It's going to be there. The presence of God. Hallelujah. Moses said in Exodus 33:15, and he said unto him, as they were on their way to Canaan, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses didn't want to go if God's presence wasn't with him. He didn't want to go. His presence and his word, people, they go together. Did you know that? That's why it's important to get the word of God into your spirit, because wherever God's word is, his presence is there too. See, I don't care how religious it sounds or how appealing it is to your flesh or your desires, the first thing you better ask yourself, does it carry God's presence? There's a lot of people that are speaking the word of God in cults and different things like that, but God's presence isn't with them. It's who has Jesus Christ in their life. Who Jesus lives within. God does not live in every human being on the earth, like some like to believe. He doesn't. Because the word that carries his presence has the power to carry it too. Did you know that? Woo-wee. And it's able to keep you and me. God's word is able to keep us. The disciples got a word of purpose that assured them of their destination. That word made them unsinkable. It made them unsinkable. It says, let us go over onto the other side of the lake. Jesus said that. That meant that ship wasn't going to sink. Because the word was spoken. The word was spoken. It was spoken. I didn't say that the word guarantees you that you will have an easy life and that you will never have to go through a storm. I didn't say that. I said the word will carry you through the storm. The word will hold you up in the storm, and it will make you unsinkable, whatever you're going through. That's what the word does. You know, there's too many people that skip out on the things of God too fast. They don't trust the word of God. They don't feel. They don't sense. But they don't stand on the faith of God's word, and they miss what God's word is doing. I even think about some of the people who are no longer with us in this church that have left and gone out of the church, and they separated themselves from the body of Christ. They're missing what God can do in their life, and they need the fellowship, but they didn't hold on to the word in their heart because they look at circumstances and situations and people, and everybody in here is not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We are a church in process going forward. And my heart breaks for people, not only in this church, but other churches who leave the church because they quit holding on to the word of God, and they hold on to looking at their surroundings and their circumstances more than what the word of God says. And they miss what God wants to do. But God, if we hold on to it, like the disciples, our ship is unsinkable. It's unsinkable. Amen? See, I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for the word of the Lord. The enemy would have killed me, but I had the word. I had the word. Debt would have sunk me, but I had the word. Amen? I mean, I went through severe financial things too, but we held on to the word. We spoke the word, and God has brought us this far. Amen? I want you to agree with me on this. If you agree, say amen. If you don't, that's okay. But I'm going to hold on to the word. See, family turmoil and strife would have capsized my vessel, but we held on to the word. Every family has situations going on within it that is happening in life that are severe. And you as Christian, if you're in here, you're a blood-bought Christian, you need to hold on to the Word of God in your family too. Amen. You need to hold on. Attacks on my integrity and my character would have drowned me in a sea of despair, but I had a word. When they came against me, I had a word that was planted in me, and God kept me from sinking. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Depression and fear and anxiety would have swallowed me up, but I had a word. And I've told you some of my testimony, and I have a word. I stood on the Word of God. I held on to the Word of God in every circumstance, and God has brought me this far. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, I'm telling you, hold on to your word, people. Hold on to your word. Your word makes you unsinkable. Did you know that? It makes you unsinkable. Your word makes you invincible. It makes you invincible. Your word makes you fireproof. Did you know that? You're fireproof when you got the Word of God in your heart. I'll prove it right here, the Word of God. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You hold on to the word, because that's the word of God right there. Whatever you're walking through. How many in here right now have family members walking through severe trials in their life right now? Huh? I bet almost all of us could lift our hands, because if you're human, you got problems. And I tell you what, people need to get the word in their heart and let them know what Isaiah 43:2 says, that if they hold on to the word of God, they're going to make it. It may not be right away, but they will make it. Sometimes God allows us to go through the storm longer because of whatever situation he knows about. We don't, but we hold on to the word. The devil says you're going to die. The doctor's report says it's incurable, it's terminal. You ever hear of anybody like that? You've been said to? I know people like that. But here's what it says in Psalms 118, 17. Are you holding on to your chairs, people? Here they are. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That is holding on to the word of God. You don't look at the people who died. You don't look at the circumstances back here. You look at the word and you go forward. You hold on to the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word of God says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are
healed.
Hallelujah. We are healed. Hallelujah. We're healed. We're healed. It says it right there. God said it. It's true. You don't look at Pastor so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, or priest so-and-so, or nun so-and-so, or uncle so-and-so. You look at the Word of God. It says we are healed. We are healed. A lot of people miss out on what God can do in their life because they're more concerned about what happened to somebody else than what Jesus said. I don't focus on people who lost everything. I don't focus on people who've died. I focus on what the Word of God says, because God's Word's true. God's word is true.
Amen.
See, we don't know what goes on in the hearts of each person, why circumstances turn out the way they do. But I can assure you, God is honest and true and holy and pure. So I read the word and I stay and I hold on to the word of God. The devil says you'll never see those children saved. Huh? Ever hear that in your thoughts? You're just wasting your time praying for them. They're never going to serve the Lord. That hammers on parents. That hammers on grandparents. But I tell you what, here's what the Word of God says in Isaiah 54:13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That's what you hold on to. Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for these have I seen righteous before me in this generation. That is the Word of God that you hold on to. You don't look at the family that was a Christian family and their kids all went astray. You don't look at somebody who got saved and their kids are still lost as jackrabbits. You don't look at that. You look at the Word of God. You bring it into your spirit. You hold on to it and watch the Holy Spirit move supernaturally in your family. That's what you do by faith. You don't look at the circumstances. And then it says in Acts 1:11-14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Huh? All thy house. Who shall tell thee? Peter went to tell people. Paul went to tell people. And I'm telling you right now, you stand on the word of God for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren. You don't look at how mean the little tykes are, how rebellious they are, whether they're adults or small children. You look at the word of God and you claim their souls for your heritage. That's what you do. That's what you do, people. Luke 8:23. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. Came down a storm of wind on the lake. That means a whirlwind, a tempestuous wind, a violent attack of wind came against the disciples when they were in the boat with Jesus. It came down. See, literally, as though they had a bullseye on their back. They had a bullseye on their back. And the storm violently attacked them. It was trying to destroy them. It was launched against them to sink them. That's what the storm was sent to do. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like there's a bullseye on your back? Man, a big one, huh? And like the devil singled you out. He's after me, only after me. He singled me out. And he's concentrating extra measures and extra opposition and extra weapons on you. You feel just like it's on your back. Have you ever felt like that? I have in my life. Have you ever felt like the devil has called off the little imps and he sent out the big dogs after you? Huh? Yeah. I've felt like that several times in my life. See, if the answer is yes, you ought to be shouting and praising God right now. You ought to be shouting and praising God. If you're in a circumstance of life right now, you should not sit there downtrodden, but you should be praising God, because I'll tell you right now, the devil wouldn't be concentrating on you so much of energy and his resources if you weren't a threat to him in your life. Did you know that? See, when you and I hold on to the word of God, when you and I hold on to the word of God as Christian people, no matter what storms of life are coming at us, people are watching us. The devil knows it. He doesn't want them to get the faith that you and I got, and he doesn't want our faith to grow. Because I tell you, as God takes us through each storm, our faith increases. The devil knows that we become a greater threat to his kingdom when our faith continues to grow. He knows what God's doing in these storms of life sometime. He knows, and he's going to try to destroy us in the storm, that our faith may be weak, that those around us' faith will be weak. And this powerful God that we talk about, he isn't so powerful. He's going to bring up every negative thought in your mind, everything that's happened negative, contrary to Scripture, to make you think that God's not real and God doesn't care. But he's a liar. He's a liar, and we've got to start holding on to the Word of God and standing through, because there's times when you don't feel like God is there at all. Amen? See, the devil heard you too. He heard you. You got to hold on to the Word. He knows that you're on your way to something. He knows it. And that's what keeps me moving. I know that I'm on a path to something. I know that every step of life, every journey of my life, I know that God is leading me somewhere, because he said he does. He said, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways. And he says, I will direct your path. Meaning I'm on a path. As I'm walking on that path, I trust God as he's leading me. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't even understand why am I on this path right now. But I'm going to take that path believing I'm being led of the Holy Spirit according to his word, and I'm going to hold on to it and watch where God leads me according to his word. Hallelujah. I'm excited about Jesus. Glory to God. See, I'm not going through this storm for nothing. I'm not walking through this valley of the shadow of death for nothing. My ultimate goal and purpose of life is to live with Jesus through all eternity. And it's not for nothing. See, the fight isn't about who you are today or where you are today. The fight is about your word. The fight is about your destiny. The fight is about your going and what you're getting ready to do. That's what it's all about. The greatest storm of your life means you're closer to your destiny. When we get close to our destiny, we are going to have storms in our life. The enemy knows it. He knows it. Joseph's brothers wanted him dead. Remember this? Remember that? The experience of life? I don't want to call it story. We discussed that last Sunday night. I don't like to call story in here. It's not a story. It's a fact of life. You remember Joseph's brothers in the fact of life when they wanted him dead? Huh? Not just because he was their father's favorite, but because he had a dream, he had a word, he had a destiny, and he had a future. And if we looked at Joseph's life right there, we say, wow, he's got her made. God showed him this dream, and everybody's going to be bound to this young man and everything. But look at what happened through the process of his life, all the turns that took place in his life. But you know, want to know why? Even with all the turns in his life, he held on to the word of God. He held on to the dream. He held on to the destiny. And God's got the same thing for you and I. He said that you and I are going to make it. He said he is able to keep us no matter what comes against us. He is able if we hold on to his word. If we hold on to his word. See, as long as you ain't got nothing and you don't want nothing, you have no dreams, no visions, no passions, no aspirations to go anywhere or do anything, then you got a lot of friends around you. Did you know that? Because you're no threat to them. You're no conviction to them. Your life or nothing. And so you got people around you. But I tell you what, but as soon as you start dreaming of a better tomorrow and you start prophesying your destiny and it's bigger than your friends can see it, it's bigger than they can handle, they will try to discourage you and talk you out of your destiny. They'll try to do it. And if you won't sell out and you won't forfeit your dreams and settle back into life of mediocrity and religious expectations, then you become a threat to them and they will turn on you and try to destroy you. They will. You need to examine your friendship circle, people. If there's people around you. Everybody can't go where God has taken you. Did you know that? Everybody can't go where God is taking me. That's why you don't follow man. You follow the word. You follow Jesus. You don't follow man because man can be disappointing to you. When we were young Christians, we had a pastor that came from Texas. I may have mentioned it again, but I'll just say it quickly. And when he came from Texas, he had followers from that church that followed him all the way to South Dakota. Well, all those people that followed the pastor from Texas to South Dakota got involved in our little church, very similar to this one. They all backslid. Walked away from the church, every one of them, because you don't follow man, you follow Jesus, because that pastor's calling was not their calling. And we got to get hold on to the word of God, amen? We got to hold on to the word of God. Believe me, if you ever set out to do anything for God, and if you ever get bold enough to launch into your word and work it out and walk out your destiny, you're going to be attacked. Whenever you attempt to do something for Jesus, there's going to be an attack against you. There's going to be an attack against you. The enemy doesn't like it that we started this church. There's attacks that will come against. And people, whether you're small church, large church, medium church, or a house church, if you're doing something for Jesus, the devil is at work to destroy it. He's at work to destroy it. And we got to remember that. See, you're going to be attacked physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, and there will be attacks against your marriage, attacks against your ministry, attacks against your family, anything the enemy is going to try to do to discourage you, to get you to let loose of the word of God in your life. Did you know that? People don't understand that many times. They give up. They give up on the things of God and miss what God has done in their life. They miss out. They want to jump ship. Even if Jesus is in the ship, they'll jump ship because they get their eyes off of Jesus. It's because we are dangerous when we live for Jesus. You are a threat to hell, and your dreams make you dangerous. Your words make you dangerous. And by the way, I didn't say God's dreams. I said your dreams. God doesn't need to dream. That's one of the popular things through the big churches today. God doesn't need to dream. There's nothing in Scripture tells me that God dreams. He gives dreams to man. But it doesn't tell me he dreamed them. He already knows them. Luke 8:23 says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep." Can you imagine Jesus falling asleep in a storm? Huh? Have you ever felt like God did this great thing in your life, stirred you up, gave you this great, powerful word of destiny, and then he just went to sleep and forgot about you? How many felt that Jesus has gone to sleep sometime in your turmoil, in your storm? Well, I'm honest enough to tell them. See, when you raise your hand, when you know that's happened, and you raise your hand, you're letting everybody know you're real, that you have hurts, that you're in the real life, and that's what we do. And Jesus knows it. He knows it. And just think, Jesus just laid there, and he let the devil beat up on you? Huh? You're in this violent storm, and Jesus falls asleep, and he's beating up on you? Let people die. He let the people die. He let somebody cheat on you. Somebody persecute you, somebody criticize you, somebody steal from you, ignore you, overlook you, underestimate you. Jesus let him do that because he was sleeping? Because that's what happens to you and I. We get beat up in life, don't we? And we say, Lord, where are you? I should be on top of the stars with you right now, but it seems like my world's falling apart, and it looks like everybody's against me, and they're tearing me apart. Jesus, you got to wake up. See, that's what happened to them. Jesus fell asleep. He fell asleep. See, just because you're called doesn't mean you won't ever have problems. Did you know that? Just because you're anointed doesn't mean you won't ever be lied about either. It doesn't mean that God is going to wrap you in cotton so that your feelings never get hurt. It's not going to happen. In fact, the more anointed you are and the more destiny you embrace and the more focused you become on fulfilling your purpose, the greater the threat are to hell and the greater the attacks against you. That's when people start backing away, when they finally decide, I'm going to get real with God. I'm going to get on fire for Jesus. I'm going to get radical for the Lord. I'm going to witness more. I'm going to get involved in the church. I'm going to do this and I do that. And then it seems like things come into your life almost instantly, and boom, there's an attack against your life, and you back away from what God has called you to do, and you don't go forward. And I tell you what, people, when the attacks come, I've been in ministry circumstances where things have attacked me that were really severe, and I decided I'm going to hold on to the word, and I went forward in spite of them when it had been easier just to back away. I decided, Lord, if I give into this thing, I'll never go forward to get deeper with you if I give into this attack right now, physically, in my body, financially, whatever it is, but I went forward. You hold on to the word, and God will take you through the storm. He'll take you through the storm. See, Joseph was anointed, wasn't he? Joseph was favored by God, and repeatedly the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Repeatedly. Well, if the Lord was with Joseph, why didn't God stop his brothers from stripping him out of his coat and throwing him in a pit? Think about that. An anointed man that God anointed, he was sold by his own family and thrown in a pit. Why didn't God stop Potiphar's lust-filled wife from lying about Joseph and destroying his character and integrity in the eyes of Potiphar and his whole house? Why didn't God stop that? That's why we can't go around crying and saying, oh, woe's me, why is this all happening to me? I tell you what, there's a divine plan. If you're a blood-bought Christian, you're living a Holy Ghost, obedient life for Jesus, there's the tax against your life, God's doing something.
Right, amen.
He's doing something. See, it was all part of making Joseph the kind of man that God could trust with the dream he gave him. That's what it was about. Joseph wasn't where he was supposed to be when he had the dream. He wasn't there. He wasn't prepared for what God had for man to worship, or not worship him, but bow before him. He wasn't prepared to take that. God had to do a work in him, and he had to take him through some awful things for that to happen. He allowed those things to happen. He didn't do them. But look, you know the end of Joseph's story, don't you? His brothers that sold him were going to kill him, and then they sold him and everything. How he approached his brothers at the end with tears streaming down his eyes as a man of God, and he hugged them and forgave them for what they did and told them, it wasn't you, it was God. God did a work in this young man's life and brought him to where he was. Why did he have to sit in prison for 2 years? The baker forgot him for 2 years of his life. But God was doing something in that prison for 2 years that he was going to work out at Joseph to get him prepared to be the head of all Egypt. Wow. What are you going to be in heaven? We don't know. God's preparing us for heaven too. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We're going to be ruling. We're going to be ruling the saints of God. He's preparing us. He's preparing us. Tell your neighbor, I'm in process. Come on, I'm in process. Psalms 121:4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber nor sleep, it says. See, I know God never sleeps, but I promise you there will be times in your life when it feels like God is as such in a deep slumber that nothing can wake him up. It'll feel like that. Praise the Lord. God is not asleep. He's not forgotten you. His eyes are on the sparrow, and his eyes are on every minute of the day. That's the Jesus, the God we serve. He's been watching you all through the process, whatever you're in right now in your life. Jesus sees it. He sees the process that he's allowing you to go through to do what needs to be done in your life. That's what he's doing. He's been watching you all through the process. He saw the storm coming before it ever got to you, and he filtered it through his hands of love. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? When the turmoil comes into your life, when the heartache, when the difficult things come, when the physical things come, the marital things come, the financial things, it's hard to believe that God filtered that through his hands of love, but he does. He does. We don't understand it. The loneliness can be deep. The depression can be deep, but God is filtering that through his hands of love in order to bring you and I where we need to be in faith with him and to be like Jesus. He predetermined that this storm was not going to kill you. He predetermined it. He predetermined that this storm was not going to sink you. He predetermined that this storm was not going to destroy your ministry or your walk with the Lord. Before you ever entered the battle, he predetermined that you had everything you need to conquer. Did you know that? Every storm that you and I are in, we have the word. We have the word. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. It's in here. We have the word, and the Holy Ghost wants to put it in your spirit that you hold on to it. If you're walking in pain today, you say that the word in me is that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. That's what you do. If you're walking in financial difficulty, you said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. You are holding on to the word. It's the word that God gave you. Hold on to it and watch God process you through that time. However long it takes is how long. Will you be rebellious? Will you be doubtful? Will you turn from God for a while where he's got to get you back? Or will you just say, Lord, it's hard, but I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. Lord, if I die from whatever this thing is, I'm going to still say that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. That's your faith, and you're holding on to the word of God. And you walk through it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How could Jesus sleep through the same storm that threw the disciples into hysteria? How could he do it? The answer is, how many want to know the answer? How could he do it? You want to, okay, goodness, over 50%, I'll do it. See, the answer is, he believed the word that he spoke. Hallelujah! Jesus believed what he said. His word was true, and he believed it. It says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's Jesus' word. When he spoke it to the disciples and said, we're going to the other side of the lake, they weren't going to sink because Jesus just said, we're going to the other side of the lake. There's no way that ship could have sunk because they held on to the word of God. They had the word with them. They had the word with them. I wish somebody in here would believe the word and get excited. I wish you'd get excited. See, you're going through the storm of your life and your finances, but you believe the word. You're going through the greatest fire of your life and your health, but you believe the word. You're fighting for your children. They seem farther away than ever before, but you believe the word. You've been tried in your ministry, your walk with the Lord, your character, your reputation, your integrity are being attacked, but you believe the word of God. That's what we do. We believe the word of God. It says in Luke 8:24, and they came unto him and awoke him. In other words, they went back to the word. If you walked away from the word, you got to do what they did. You got to walk back to the word. And that's what the disciples did. They woke him up. They went to the Word and they woke him up. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." That's Jesus. John 1:4, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's Jesus. That's what the disciples did. They went over to the Word and they woke him. They woke the Word. They didn't have to worry, because even though he was sleeping, he was the Word. And he said, "We're going to the other side." That's what he says in your life and my life. Put your circumstances right now in that boat, and Jesus is with you. You can look to Jesus. No matter what it feels like, sounds like, looks like, hears like, whatever, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. I don't care what the enemy is doing today or trying to do. It doesn't matter what the storm or the test or the trial is in your life. It doesn't matter how hot the fire is, how the flames, or how deep the water is. The answer is the same. Hold on to your Word. Hold on to your Word. Get back to your Word. Your Word will get you through, people. This will get you through. And you say, "But you don't know how long I've been walking through the problem. You don't know how long I've been walking through the trial." Well, you don't give up. You stay in the Word of God. Some people say, "I've been praying for my kids for 30 years. Then you keep praying and holding on to the Word of God, because God is faithful and true, and his Word does not lie. Hallelujah. It doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall it be not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Matthew 25:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Psalms 12:6, "The words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Psalms 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Yes. It's settled in heaven, people. That's how sure the word of God is. 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." God already prophesies into your life and my life too, and his word is sure. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. See, like Paul encouraged Timothy, take the word and make it a weapon, people. God gave us this word. God didn't give you that word just to be a soft pillow for your head. He didn't give it for that reason. He gave it to you that the word might fight. So many today in churches aren't learning how to fight with the word anymore, because they want to be tickled in their ears and feel good, experience with things. But I tell you, we're in a warfare. We're in the fight for our eternal souls, and we need the word of God. I need to hold on to the word of God. If I want marshmallow candy, I'll go to the circus and get that fuzzy stuff they give you. That's where you get that stuff. But I tell you what, if you want to be a soldier of the cross, you need to pick up the word of God. You need to be willing to sit in a church who preaches the truth of God's word and not be offended by it, because if you are offended by it, that means it's working anyway. I tell you what, you need to be convicted in your hearts and live out what the Word of God says. That's what I need to make it. I don't have time to sit around and foolish and have somebody make me feel good. I like feeling good, believe me. But you know when I feel good? When I'm trusting the Word of God. That's when I'm feeling good. Because when I got to dig down real deep, when I'm depressed or when I'm hurting or my family's going through something, I need to dig into the Word in the depths of my heart and hold on to the Word of God. That's what I need. I don't need an experience. I need to warfare with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Soldier, pick up your weapon. Pick up your Word. That's what you and I need to do. The Bible says in Luke 8:23, "And they filled with water and were in jeopardy." See, their boat was filled with water. Can you imagine that, these dudes? They're here, Jesus asleep, and their boat was filling up with water. And they were in jeopardy, that's what it says here. That means doubt and worry. That means doubt and worry and anxiety and stress and all the negative circumstances that surround you are trying to drown your faith and steal your Word. See, the water in the boat, the storm, and the water and Jesus sleeping, the devil's trying to destroy their faith. He's trying to destroy their faith. That's what happens around you and I, too. That's what the devil is after. He wants you to throw away the Word. That's what he wants you to do. The devil's telling you today that it's hopeless. Enemies are telling you that it's hopeless. But I came to tell you, people, you need to hold on to the Word. You need to hold on to the Word. And yes, I'm getting close to the end, very close to the end of my service, so I want to encourage you. Because I can keep on going. I'm only in Genesis 1. Praise God. You need to hold on to the word. You need to hold on to the word. If God ever spoke it, God will bring it to pass, people. If God spoke to you about a new house, then start looking for plans. And start looking at furniture. That's what you need to do. If God spoke to you about writing a book, then you need to buy some pens and paper. Amen? Amen. If God said he's going to save your family, quit calling them heathens and acting like they're unreachable. Did you know that? I get tired of my brothers and sisters in Christ and complain about their lost families. We need to put them up before Jesus and thank God that the Holy Ghost is moving on them. We claim them for the kingdom of God. I claim my twin brother for the kingdom of God every day. He's mine, Lord. I claim his soul for the kingdom of God. I will not give up praying. Even till the day I die, I keep praying that my brother will come to Jesus. I don't see him as a heathen. I see him before the cross, bowed down, submitting to Jesus, repenting of his sins. That's how you look at your lost loved ones. You never call them heathens and call them they're so rebellious and unreachable. Nobody's unreachable for God. God is able to reach into the depths of your soul and my soul and clean us up. He's able to do a work that you and I can't even see. We hold on to the word. Amen. Hold on to the word. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense. That means reward, of reward. The devil wants to steal your faith, and he wants to steal the word of God from your heart and my heart and try to ruin our faith. That's what he wants to do. See, I don't know what your storms may have went through or what you are going through right now, but I'm telling you, people, you need to hold on to the word. Let's all stand, please. See, the boat may be demolished. The economy be at all-time low. Gas prices may go to $10 a gallon, and bread may be $20 a loaf, and the government may go bankrupt, but your word will deliver you. Did you know that? Yeah. Did you ever hear about manna from heaven? Well, I tell you, the Israelites probably thought the same thing, but God showed them, I can feed you with manna from heaven. I can send birds out of nowhere for you to eat. But that's what they do. Your word will carry you to the other side. My faith is not in my boat. My faith is not in my church. My faith is not in my job. My faith is not in the economy. My faith is not in the government. My faith is in the word of God. It's in the word of God. Amen? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians 1:6, my last scripture verse I'm going to give you this morning. Being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, please. With every head bowed, please. How many in here this morning would say, I'm walking in a storm. I'm walking in a storm right now. Come on. Come on. God's going to do something great. You get your hand up there if it's supposed to be up there. You're walking through a storm right now. And how many in here got loved ones that are walking through a storm, a trial that's hard in their life? Okay, there's a lot of hands up here today. And Father, right now you see these hands. You see these hands that went up, Father, and Lord, you're zeroing in on them. You already been zeroing in on them while they're sitting here. And Lord, they may think it's never going to end. I don't see how there's any way this can work out. I can't see how this can ever come to pass. Lord, I'm tired. I'm weak. And Jesus says, I am your strength. When you are weak, I am strong in your life. And Lord, you are the God of the impossible. So I speak into everyone's hands that are up in the air right now that you would supernaturally move upon their circumstances and their situations of life and within these family situations right now. And Lord, that the Holy Ghost, that the loving Holy Ghost right now is moving in the hearts and lives of your people. And those, and again, this we prayed for healing this morning. That, Lord, that your healing power is there. It's ours because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And Lord, family members that need salvation, anybody in here this morning that needs salvation, you need to repent of your sins. You need to surrender to Jesus. If you're in here this morning, I would invite you to come forward and I will pray with you and encourage you in how to walk that walk this morning. But Lord, those who had their hands up with the trials and the storms of life right now, Lord, move up on them. Put a joy in their spirits. Put an excitement, Lord, and let them say, I will hold on to my word. I will hold on to your word, Lord, that you put in our spirit right now, Father. I speak to that circumstance. I speak to that storm. I speak to that trial right now. I hold on to the word of God. My God shall deliver me from all my trials and tribulations. I hold on to the word. I pray that over everyone that's in here this morning. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I pray for every family in here that you continue to work in their hearts and lives. You continue to convict their hearts according to your word, and you continue to move in our lives. Bring us together, Lord. I believe that you have us on a path. I believe you're going to do a great work in this church. I believe you're going to do a great work in many churches across this world. The remnant church, Father, that is staying true to your word, Father. I believe you're going to turn up the power, Father. We're entering a time where the government, people are relying upon the government for resource. But Lord, I believe you got heaven prepared with manna. I believe you got heaven prepared because you own everything, Father. It is yours, and you will take your people through these end times just before Jesus breaks the atmosphere and takes us. I believe you're going to take care of every one of our needs. And I believe we're going to walk in the supernatural power of your word. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.